Penguin Random House Audio presents Better Living Through Birding, Notes from a Black Man in the Natural World. This is the author, Christian Cooper. For Mom and Dad. I believe the best way to begin reconnecting humanity's heart, mind, and soul to nature is for us to share our individual stories. J. Drew Lanham, The Home Place, Memoirs of a Colored Man's Love Affair with Nature. Introduction. With cameras rolling, we hold our breath. What would happen next? A swath of the Big Island unfolds below us in stretches of open fields and moss-draped trees whose green meets the blue and white of sea and sky at the horizon. It's not the sandy beach tourist postcard one might expect of Hawaii, but from the small cliff where the film crew and I stand, it's perfection, with two rare Hawaiian geese in the foreground taking their first tentative steps to freedom. These two nenes, as they are known, have spent weeks at the Hawaii Wildlife Center rehab facility after injuries likely sustained on golf courses. Now that they've been deemed healthy for release, we're watching their repatriation to the wild and hoping to catch a bit of magic on film. There's no way to know what the birds will do, and we have only one crack at capturing this moment for television, for a TV show I'm hosting. Poised at the cliff's edge, the nenes raise their heads high amid a tussock of grass to take in their surroundings, including the sweeping vista. They honk in high voices, tentatively, as if to say, "Well, this is new. How'd I get here?" I know the feeling. Unexpectedly, after years at a desk job, I find myself living a birder's dream, crisscrossing the continent in pursuit of iconic species like the nene, having close encounters with the rarest birds. It doesn't get any closer than peering via endoscope inside the body of a Puerto Rican parrot, or iguaca, to check on its testicles. And having the privilege of telling the harrowing and inspiring stories of these birds' conservation, and of the farmers, biologists, and just plain folks, truly extraordinary birders, dedicated to these efforts, in front of the camera to a mass audience. And yet, this hasn't come out of nowhere. Elements of my life going back decades to childhood have conspired in the alchemy of this transformation, galvanized by a moment 2 years prior to my nene encounter, a moment early in the morning, late in the month of May, in Manhattan Central Park, and by a sentence uttered as agitated white fingers hovered over a cell phone, poised to dial 911 to summon the police. I'm going to tell them that there's an African-American man threatening my life. 14 words, captured amid 69 seconds of video that would alter the trajectory of two lives. I can only speak about one of those lives, that of the African-American man in question, my own. Ideally, I'd be writing about it not with a keyboard but in the graceful strokes of an inked quill to match in script the way feathered creatures have drawn a steady line through the disparate aspects of my existence. As a black kid in the 1970s, I was rarer than an ivory-billed woodpecker in the very white world of birding. As I simultaneously struggled with being queer, birds took me away from my woes, suffocating in the closet. A total nerd, I devoured superhero comics, sci-fi, and fantasy long before nerd culture conquered the world. My obsession with birds only ramped up the geek factor exponentially, and birding would lead directly to the confrontation in Central Park, a moment when my choices would be informed by a lifetime of being black, queer, and even a nerd. Of the many disorienting twists in the aftermath of that incident, one of the strangest is that I have been afforded an opportunity that better folks than me don't always get, the chance to tell those interlocking tales of my life in their full complexity. As I might lead a bird walk through the woods, this audiobook will lead you through 6 decades of a black gay activist birder's tumultuous past, pausing to observe all things most notable, things of interest, even if you don't give one whit about birds, but, of course, by the end of this, you will. And whether you are a longtime enthusiast or have never held a pair of binoculars in your life, but after hearing this story, of course, you'll have to. And though this audiobook isn't about how to bird, I'll offer some modest tips along the way for the uninitiated, as well as insights, 7 very specific ones, into why birding might be the next big thing to conquer the world. If the recently soaring number of people taking up lenses to point at feathered beauties is any indication. All that, yes, and something else. One spring day, maybe in a suburban backyard, or maybe in a random tree in a busy metropolis, you might hear something with a flute-like quality that makes you curious. So you investigate, peering through leaves, feeling a little foolish, until you see brick-red undersides. You never knew robins, so familiar from every patch of grass, made that sound. Now those flute phrases of triplet notes are stuck in your head. You hear it all the time in places you never paid attention to. Even in passing, these ordinary places get your attention now. Suddenly alert to robins, you notice that they hop or run, whereas pigeons only walk, but with the head bobbing with each step. It makes you wonder what else you might be overlooking right before your eyes and ears. Or maybe you'll find yourself atop a cliff in Hawaii, listening to the honks of nenes and realizing how the sound is so reminiscent of the ubiquitous Canada geese back home, but higher pitched, as if a Canada had been kneed in the groin. The close kinship of the two different geese stops being an abstraction, but rather something you can see and hear. You start to perceive the world as an interconnected ebb and flow of genes that take one gorgeous form in one given location, but have drifted in a new direction someplace else. Yet for a moment, all that is forgotten as a flock of nenes careens overhead and splits the sky with cries of their own, answering the two newcomers as if to say, "Welcome to our world." Birding shifts your perceptions, adding new layers of meaning and brokering connections between sounds and seasons, across far-flung places, and between who we are as people and a wild world that both transcends and embraces us. In my life, it has been a window into the wondrous. Allow me to pull back the curtain and welcome you to my world. Chapter 1. An Incident in Central Park. I am a black man running through New York's Central Park. This is no leisure run. I'm not pushing for a new personal best, though my legs pump in furious rhythm. I'm running as if my life depends on it, and though my heart pounds, it's as much out of mounting panic as it is cardiovascular stress. I know what this looks like. My sneakers are old and muddy, my jeans in need of a good washing, and my shirt, though collared, could at best be described as unkempt. I am a black man on the run, and I have binoculars. This is not how this evening was supposed to unfold, but all it took was a brief exchange of words to put me in flight. Twilight is racing along the horizon, and I've got half an hour of light left at best. As the sun sinks behind trees wreathed in its glow, so too does a feeling of desperation in the pit of my stomach. I'm running out of time. I check the alert on my phone again and curse myself for turning it off for the entire workday. I'd faced several grueling tasks with hard deadlines and had found the constant vibrating notifications from the Manhattan Rare Bird Alert too indiscriminate, rare being rather loosely defined by some contributors, and too distracting during working hours. I preferred to do my birding early in the morning anyway. Then I would head directly to the office where my colleagues have grown accustomed to my business-questionable attire this time of year, functional and subject to deferred laundering. The demands of my spring migration schedule don't permit much else. So it wasn't until 6 p.m. that I turned my phone on and saw the text from Morgan. "Are you going to go see the Kirtland's Warbler?" Amusement at what obviously had to be a prank quickly morphed into disbelief as I read the chain of
sample complete. Ready to continue?